Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it is now official. About an hour ago, the House did vote to accept the two-month payroll tax extension compromise and the rest of that bill that had passed the Senate. So House Speaker John Boehner caved. Now, before we put this conversation to bed, at least until February, when they, you know, the 2 months expire and they have to come up with a deal for the rest of the year, Todd Zwillick is here to tell us how this all went down one more time. He's the Washington correspondent for The Takeaway. Hi, Todd. Welcome back.
Hey.
To WNYC. Here's Boehner trying to save a little face.
May not have been politically the smartest thing in the world, but let me tell you what. I think our members waged a good fight. We were able to come to an agreement. We were able to fix what came out of the Senate.
All right. What did they fix? And that's about the most embarrassed I've ever heard John Boehner in public.
Humbled, yes. In fact, one reporter, one of my colleagues, straight up asked the speaker, "Is this your worst week as speaker?" What a question. And that was pretty much his answer there. That was the question that set up that answer. They got a little bit of a minor concession, Brian, out of Democrats on this two-month extension. Republicans had been making some noise during the week after a letter that came from a trade association of the people who handle software programming and infrastructure for payroll systems. Yes, they have a trade association in Washington, and they wrote a letter to Washington saying a two-month extension was unworkable because of the way withholding works on your paycheck. What they did on this two-month extension to change that is they changed the withholding rules in a way that I think I better not bore you with explaining, but it just makes it easier to do the withholding and makes it less complicated, less expensive, and less onerous for everybody to do the 2 months instead of the full year.
So politically, news of a deal started coming out yesterday afternoon after President Obama's televised statement where he stood in front of a bunch of, quote, regular folks to insist that the House Republicans get it together to pass the 2 month extension already. And then Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the Senate, was out there insisting his Republican counterparts in the House pass the thing. So you had Obama and McConnell very publicly on the same page for once. What was going on in the back rooms?
Yes, and in fact, McConnell's statement was first before Obama's, which gave the president the nice little flourish of being able to refer to the words of the Senate minority leader and letting everyone know that they all agreed, and the only person out in the cold was John Boehner and his House Republicans. What had happened, Brian, over the ensuing days since last weekend when the Senate passed this two-month extension, 89-10, overwhelming bipartisan vote, was mounting pressure. You expect the pressure from Democrats. We can discount that because that's normal. They wanted to get their way on this. But the pressure started to mount from within Republican ranks. First of all, that 89-10 vote by itself was a pretty massive statement. McConnell voted for it. Tea Party senators voted for it. Republicans from all across the spectrum voted for it. It was a consensus bill. Then individual senators, all of whom were running for re-election, Scott Brown of Massachusetts, Dick Lugar of Indiana, Dean Heller of Nevada, and others, all came out with statements urging House Republicans to accept the deal and learn to fight another day. That didn't do it. House Republicans remained dug in. The Wall Street Journal editorial page piled on. That still didn't do it. And ultimately, it was the Republican leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, piling on yesterday, sort of in the late morning, that finally seemed to break the dam here. And by the time the president came out to the podium to just rub it in a little bit further, the motions for a deal were already in the works behind the scenes.
So are the freshman Tea Party members in the House losing some of this big influence that they've had because they've suffered this defeat here? Is this their Waterloo?
I don't know that you can say they're losing their influence. I mean, if they had lost their influence, John Boehner would have told them last Saturday when they had the conference call after the Senate vote. He would have said, "This is the deal. We're taking it. Have a nice Christmas." That's not what happened. We wound up in another nearly week of bruising negotiations, bruising optics for Republicans. I would say the Tea Party has plenty of influence. In this particular case, it turned out to be malign influence on the Republican brand. Going forward, what does this mean? There are a lot of angry rank and file. I don't want to say a lot. I don't know how many. I know that there are some. I've spoken to one or two, and other reporters have spoken to others. There are angry Republicans in the rank and file, some of whom you'd identify with the Tea Party, some of whom you would just call conservatives, who are fed up with the House and certainly fed up with the Speaker. This is not the first time we've seen this dynamic, Brian. Think about the debt limit deal, which nearly went well, the initial debt limit deal, which nearly went awry until they figured out a way to form that thing called the super committee. Government shutdown debates, spending debates, and budget debates. We've seen this movie before of a deal that the Speaker tries to cut with Harry Reid or the president, or even Joe Biden, and has to step back from it, walk away from it, or have it unravel beneath him because his rank and file won't go for it. They say no deals. They feel as though they have been undercut and sold out by the Speaker. They feel as though they've passed good common sense legislation on lots of different subjects. But take, for instance, the one-year extension of the payroll tax cut. Many of them don't want the one-year extension, but they feel like they passed a strong bill that had Keystone Pipeline, that had reforms to unemployment insurance, only to see the Senate and Senate Republicans refuse to pass it. They're fed up and they're angry, and some of them are now threatening that this anger will come back to hurt the Speaker. That's not going to happen overnight. That's not going to happen in 2 months. Let's see how 2012 goes and whether this is the beginning of an unraveling of John Boehner's speakership or whether he finds a way to navigate this always difficult road that he's had,
but
trying to balance the Tea Party and establishment Republicanism.
But I wonder if that's only one side of the politics. Yes, if John Boehner is too moderate, too conciliatory, too open to compromise for the large group of Tea Party supporters in his Republican caucus in the House, that's one dynamic to watch. On the other hand, if that Tea Party caucus has now pushed the Republican Party, or at least the House Republicans, down to this dismal level of popularity or unpopularity in the land at large, maybe this is the point at which they have really started to go too far for their own good, and there's going to be a backlash. You know what I think of? I think of after President Bush's reelection in 2004. Of course, the Iraq War that he had launched was extremely controversial, but he got reelected. And then he turned around and said, okay, if they bought my foreign policy, then I'm going to double down on domestic policy now. And as I'm sure you remember, Todd, right Sure. after the 2004 reelection, the president started to try to push privatization of Social Security.
Which went nowhere.
And it was really the beginning of the end politically for the Bush administration and the Republican majority in Congress. The Democrats took the House in 2006. And I'm not predicting it, but I'm just saying that maybe here at the end of 2011 with this debacle is that moment for the Tea Party when more middle, politically moderate Americans look at this big caucus in the House and say, oh, I get it. They've too far. You know, another example, when Newt Gingrich pushed the same kind of thing too far in 1995, and then Clinton got reelected in 96.
I'll give you a lesser example and one even more recently. There's an argument to be made that the mandate claimed by President Obama, the overwhelming majority, the passage of health care, now derided as Obamacare by Republicans, caused a backlash against Democrats, and they lost the House. Part of the problem—
Fair enough, along with the stimulus and the second generation of the TARP, no question.
And overreach is a classic syndrome of electoral mandates. And to the extent that somebody's going to claim a mandate after this next election, overreach will be a problem for them too. Part of the problem in this last fight, the payroll tax fight, Brian, from the Republican perspective, is that the optics and the coverage and the dynamics of this debate played right into the narrative that President Obama has already written for his reelection. He's running against a Republican. He's running, well, Republican, yes, but he's running against a dysfunctional, intransigent, out of the mainstream Congress. He was already doing that before this debate started. They walked right into it, and this was right over the plate. And the president was able to knock it out of the park, and he's going to make a press statement at 12:15 here and then get on Air Force One and go off to vacation in Hawaii with the wind at his back. That this was a large part of the problem here. So is it the beginning of the end for the Tea Party? It was definitely an overreach. I think it's too early to tell what the ultimate effect of that will be, because the president, let's face it, is still not intensely popular and is still going to be running on a bad economy where very few people can say they're better off than they were 4 years ago. So that's going to remain important.
We have a few minutes left with Todd Zwillig, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway. And Todd, just a few minutes because we have a very important way to conclude the show today.
Oh.
Because with a rare event tomorrow in the Meadowlands, we will compare Jets culture and Giants culture and ask, what does it say about you if you bleed green or bleed blue? Never mind red versus blue. This is going to be green versus blue the two different cultures. This is not going to be a sports segment, folks. This is going to be
a culture segment.
Oh, that's okay. Right. This is Jets culture versus Giants culture as they play each other tomorrow for the only time. I guess this only happens once every 4 or 5 years in the NFL. So we have to go to that, Todd, in just a couple of minutes. But what happens now? The Senate will designate conferees.
The House have done. Yeah.
The Senate has, and the House needs to. And then they're supposed to come up with a plan for a full year extension of the payroll tax cut and the extended unemployment benefits. What will be the sticking points going forward?
The House and Senate have both appointed conferees as of this morning, so that conference committee is set. Their job is to come up with a compromise, a House-Senate Republican-Democrat compromise, on a one-year extension of the payroll tax and unemployment benefits and maybe something having to do with Keystone XL pipeline. We'll see. That may or may not be in there. I don't want you to have very high expectations for this conference committee, Brian. Remember how well the super committee turned out on a high-profile issue?
I was just thinking this sounds like another super committee.
There is nothing forcing this conference committee to reach agreement. This is very likely to be solved just the way this last one was solved, with an agreement between leaders and the White House, which could again prove perilous for Speaker Boehner. They have to solve some pretty important issues. The two sides are pretty far apart. Everybody says they want a one-year extension of the payroll tax. Some Republicans actually don't want it, but all the leaders say they're willing to negotiate it. But the Republican position here, Brian, includes ways to pay for this in the tens of billions of dollars that Democrats cannot go for. Further cuts to federal workers and pensions, government spending, Medicare cuts to exchange subsidies, which is a fancy way to say the funding for insurance under the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Republicans are using the money set aside for health insurance to say, oh, great, you want to pay for payroll? Guess where we're going to take it from your sacred cow. Democrats can't go for that. Those pay-fors, Democrats consider them highly ideological. I'm going to be surprised if this conference committee finds a way out of this, and Harry Reid, John Boehner, Eric Cantor, and the president are likely to find themselves back in the room. The interesting X factor here, January 24th, Brian, Tuesday, the State of the Union, prime time, the president in front of these very members of Congress and in front of the nation when they're finally paying attention. He'll have something to say and he'll have a finger to wag at Republicans as he's running for reelection against the Republican Congress.
All right. So for anybody who thought this 2-month payroll tax cut extension was the end of politics, no, it is not. Todd Zwillig, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway, will be watching, will be listening. In fact, on our politics website, It's a Free Country. .org. We will be carrying live streaming video of President Obama's statement on all this, scheduled for 12:15 this afternoon. Todd, thanks a lot.
A pleasure. Enjoy that Gridiron Subway series there.
Oh, yeah. And listeners, in case you're interested, I'll be talking politics on television tonight as a guest on the New York One Reporters Roundtable. That's around 7:30 and 10:30 tonight on New York One. And coming up next, with that rare event in the Meadowlands, we will compare Jets culture and Giants culture. What does it say about you if you bleed green or bleed blue? Stay with us.